Send us pictures of poop. Hello and welcome to the Realm of Nerd. This is Kai and I am joined by my two co-hosts, Elijah and Zeke.
Hello, I'm Elijah.
And I am Zeke.
And we messed up the first time, so this is our take two.
And I think we have a semi-exciting show for you if you like nerdy subjects. If you didn't just hear that, Zeke just farted.
Kai, you might want to get your hug off of that cord.
Oh, yeah, that might spill. I thought you were ready to record. You're just ripping ass.
I didn't know, so I did poop before this.
Do you want to stop so you could go poop?
I'm good. Continue.
You're going to wait a whole hour to go poop.
Yep.
Okay.
I'm going to poop in my chair.
Okay, so...
Let's cut that out.
We are not cutting that out.
That is going to be the intro, in fact.
I asked you if you were ready. And you decided to crap your pants instead of saying, hey, let me go to the bathroom real fast. That's going to take 5 minutes because obviously it's coming out right now.
Okay, well, this is the Realm of Nerd.
This is the Realm of Nerd where you crap your pants on the show. If you,
oh, God.
I'm just going to get this out of the way. If you guys would like to maybe come onto the show or get your voice heard. While you're going to the bathroom, send us an email at realmofnerd@gmail.com.
Not while you're going to the bathroom.
Take pictures of your poop.
Don't do it. We went over this last podcast. Don't do it.
Send us pictures of poop. Okay, so...
our email.
All the silliness aside, our email is realmofnerd@gmail.com. You can find us on Podomatic, realmofnerd.podomatic.com. You can find us on YouTube, Realm Nerd, yada, yada, yada. Our website is realmofnerd.wix.com/home. And maybe we'll not mention that again, but...
Nope.
We're not...
Just face it, we're not shutting up about this.
We really like plugging.
Okay, so we did get some emails, and it was nice to read them online, or on air. But... we don't have any. Well, we're only getting porn requests now, I guess. Because Zeke's using that for his porn site signups, I guess. And
it all makes sense now.
It's for my other podcast.
Because I already have an email account that I ignore that I use for all that. They're all like, would you like to notify you about something? Like on Amazon? And I just send it to a different email account.
Clever.
Yeah, see? So I don't get junk mail.
Oh, wait. Do you use like my email?
No.
Oh, okay,
no,
good.
No, because
I don't check my email.
Like, if I don't want a newsletter and there's no way not to receive it, I just send it to that email account. Or I make one up.
Advice with Realm of Nerd.
Yep. But normally I use that for, like, signing up for websites and stuff that you don't need the email account for. And they just want to confirm so they could send you crap.
Confirm.
We're from Oklahoma.
So, anyway... getting on with the show, since we've already wasted 5 minutes of you guys' time. So,
are you ready for another hour?
Yes. So, as always, we start off with... Wait. I did forget something. Last podcast, if you downloaded it, it said August 22nd, but it wasn't August 22nd. It was actually a episode from the future. No, it was the August 15th that I ignorantly... wrote as August 22nd. So I have changed that up automatic, and it should reflect on iTunes as well.
Don't Macs have calendars on them?
Macs have calendars instead of my iPhone, but I was thinking I posted it for next week because of previews,
okay.
You know?
Yeah.
It is now the 22nd today.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the 22nd when this will come out, or maybe the 23rd, but probably the 22nd. I do have a busy Wednesday schedule. And I actually have to leave on my lunch break to go buy my comic books.
Ooh.
That doesn't make us sound nerdy. So, on to previews.
Yeah. On to previews.
This
is our comic book section, and we start out, as always, on previews. And our first comic is one that Elijah wanted to mention, and I will let him mention it.
I have no clue what it's about. It's called Axe Cop, President of the World. And it's a picture of a dude standing on top of a building fighting King Kong and a jaguar dinosaur?
I think it's a cheetah dinosaur.
Okay, a cat dinosaur.
Yep, but
they're giant.
That's Axe Cop. I'm not really sure. I don't read Axe Cop. And something that Elijah pointed out that I wanted to mention that we missed. No, we didn't miss this, did we?
Missed it last week.
We missed it last week. The trade paperback for the Manhattan Projects, the first trade paperback's coming out. And that's a really good series. I recommend it to everybody. I'm probably going to go pick this up.
On lunch break.
On my lunch break, when I get money. And then our next comic is Haunt. Elijah marked this one too, so do you want me to read the description and then you can talk about it? This comes out the 29th. All these previews are for the 29th, except Manhattan Project will come out as you're listening to this. So run out and buy it after you hear us telling you about it if
or
you haven't.
Or while you hear us. Like, you're listening to it, so run out to your comic book shop and then get it, then run back.
I don't think I posted in time for a comic book shop. It's going to be posted later on in the day. So, Haunt number 29. The fuse has been lit, the countdown to the apocalypse begins. A look back into Kilgore Brothers' past reveal more hidden secrets. You've been asking questions, now get ready for some answers.
It just sounds good. I'd read this comic, it looks pretty good. That's the only thing that drew me in with cover art and what it was about and the name. I'm kind of easy with comics.
Wait, what's it called? Haunt?
Haunt.
Haunt. Okay. And it's by Image. And another comic that I'd like to mention is Hack and Slash, number 19. The alternate cover is the main character. I forget her name. But she's all sitting there with a baseball bat with her skirt open. You could see up her skirt. But the...
That's the whole reason Kai's going to buy this.
The actual cover is the girl in her underwear wading out in the water, and then her reflection is a zombified version of her about to stab her in the back.
Awesome.
Which is awesome. And one of my favorite comic books ever in Image Comics again is Little Depressed Boy. Little Depressed Boy number 16. He actually, I think, has a new girlfriend in this one.
Yeah.
Named Spike.
Yeah, I think her name is Spike. I'm in love with a girl named Spike is the...
Description.
Description, and it's called Things Get Serious.
Awesome.
But Little Depressed Boy is a good read. Good poop comic. And it makes you feel warm and fuzzy or really sad.
While you're pooping.
While you're pooping.
Because I like being sad when I take a BM.
And then you're so warm and sad after the poop, you take a picture and send it to therealmofnerd@gmail.com.
Don't do that.
Send me all your poop pictures, please. Put a poop picture in the description, and we will thank you. We don't want like any nudity or anything. We just want to see your turd in the toilet.
I don't.
Or on a tree.
No, I don't think I do either.
Everybody does.
Kai does.
I do.
Kai is everybody in his mind.
Yeah, he has some weird fetishes.
It's not a weird fetish. It's just funny. Poop is funny.
Okay, so next. Is that all?
That's all the previews we have.
Okay, Kai, let's go on to our series of the week.
Okay, our series of the week is one that I'm going to do because I think we did a little round robin, and it's back to me.
If you haven't noticed, we do go around, and this comic, Kai, has been mentioned a lot in the podcast. It started, I think, when we weren't here and you had the guest host of Isaac.
Yeah, I think I did mention it there because that was the first one that I actually picked up after I went on AT. But this one is another Image comic because I'm a big Image nerd, and I just think they're the best independent comic company out there. They're putting out some really good crap recently. Better than Marvel, better than DC, better than IDW.
If you want to put out some really good crap, email us at realmofnerd@gmail.com.
If you don't stop that, I'm going to punch you in your face. Okay, it's called Grim Leaper, and I actually back-issued this one. I think it's only a four-part series, so you may get a trade paperback graphic novel, and you may not. So it's actually a really good series. I really hope they do put it in a trade paperback so everybody can enjoy it. It's called Grim Leaper. It's about this guy, and you come into his life, and he's just this random dude, and you find out that he's basically getting reincarnated into people that have already been living. So it's not really reincarnation, but what he is he leaps into people and becomes the Grim Reaper, basically. He goes and lives their life for them and has the same needs, wants that they do. Like, if they're fat, he wants to eat. If they're a smoker, he wants to smoke. And he was going around hitting on people, and then he dies. And he goes to this bar, and spoilers, he goes to this bar and meets a girl. They fall in love, and then she dies in front of him. And then they find out that they're both Grim Leapers, basically. They're both what they call leapers, and they're leaping into other people's bodies and dying. And it's basically a love story about these two people in this situation. And it's called, the little subtitle is A Love Story to Die For. And it's only a four-part series, and I don't want to spoil it for you, but today, August 22nd, is when the last one comes out, number four. So if you want to back issue these ones, start back issuing them.
I apologize if I sneeze. I'm good. Never mind.
Okay. You didn't sneeze. But I don't want to spoil anything because it is a good story. It's pretty good art. It's a little cartoony, but I do enjoy the art and the colors and everything in it. Some of it actually looks like it's painted watercolors, but I'm sure it's inked just to look like that. And Grim Leaper, it's kind of for the dark sense of humor. There's a lot of dark humor in it, grim humor. And it's just kind of a sad and funny love story all in one.
Odd combo. It sounds weird.
It sounds weird, and it is weird, but it is really, really good.
Okay,
so coming up next is our video games section, and as always, we will cover upcoming. Mm-hmm. And the upcoming is not really an upcoming game in the sense that it's a new game. It's a re-release of an old game, correct?
Correct. Yes, that has been enhanced.
Enhanced, basically. They redid the graphics and redid the gameplay a little bit. And it was a game that I was really fond of called Baldur's Gate.
Enhanced Edition, coming out September 18th.
Yeah, and Baldur's Gate is basically, if you're a D&D fan, you probably know about this. It's actually something that we don't normally do in our upcoming, and it's actually a computer game.
Ooh.
And I think all of our main topic is also a computer game. Yes. So
what's up with us today?
We're coming to Shifting Gears in honor of...
Oh, yeah, I got a new laptop.
Yeah.
Or I got a laptop.
Yeah.
It's new, but I finally got one. I can't complain anymore.
So now he's one of the cool kids, and he actually owns a computer. And what is the computer for?
School.
Really?
And he's going to play video games on it.
Basically.
Good job.
Wait, in high school you need a computer?
Not like for actually in class, but... we're doing a lot more online stuff.
Yeah, you type more in high school now than when I was in. Me, you actually had to handwrite papers, and they really looked down on you typing them up. But now I guess it's transitioning more like college and stuff, where you actually type all your papers.
I only type papers because I have terrible handwriting.
Yeah, and that's why I wished I could, because I could type faster, a lot faster than I could write.
I only don't type papers because I never took any type of... Keyboarding classes, so...
I was already at 80 words per minute before I took a keyboard class.
Well, I'm kind. I can.
And you guys are... I don't understand this, that you guys are growing up with computers and you guys don't know how to type.
I know how to type.
I don't know how to type, but I type.
But you took a typing class.
I did take a typing class.
I type pretty fast, but I don't use the proper method.
Well, I learned that on my own.
Mavis Beacon.
No, I just learned it. I just
taught yourself.
Taught myself. I was learning C++, teaching myself C++ and HTML.
Oh, okay. Well, on to Baldur's Gate.
Yeah, on to Baldur's Gate. It's a good game. It's D&D. In that kind of world and realm, that type of thing. And it's been a really long time since I played it, so I don't even remember the storyline. I probably will pick this up. And what we saw from the screenshots, it looks like a... I mean, it is a Diablo-style point-and-click adventure game. And it actually looks pretty good, a lot better than it did back in the day.
I've actually got the... They have a website. It's baldursgate.com. Yeah, it's baldursgate.com. B-A-L-D-U-R-S. Just in case you spell it wrong and get frustrated. Basically, the enhancements are just the gameplay... Multiplayer gameplay and actual core gameplay are improved. And graphics, of course. I thought that was a given. But there's also some new characters. There's three new characters and new adventures in it.
Oh, okay. So what are the three new characters?
I'll click. There is Dorn Ilkhan, which is a orc-looking dude.
Nira the Wild Mage. And,
I don't know.
Rashad?
Rashad Yabashir. He's a monk.
And he's a human monk.
Yes. And then there's new adventure, including, I don't know if we mentioned that.
Yeah, I said there's a new adventure. It's called The Black Pits.
Oh.
Okay, but I remember this was a really cool game, kind of really ahead of its time. It kind of paved the way for some of the current, even MMOs, kind of Diablo. It was even before Diablo. And some of it was really, really pixelated, the very first ones. And then, you know, you got Neverwinter Nights and stuff. It's that style of game.
And from what I can tell from the website, it looks like it's going to be coming out for Android, Mac, like the Mac, and iPad.
Really?
No iPhone?
Doesn't say so.
Well, what? It comes out for...
Weird.
Awesome. I need to get a new micro
SD card. But it doesn't know... It's coming out in September and for iPads and PCs and Macs, but the date is to be determined in on the Android.
And okay. You can pre-purchase it now.
On the Windows.
For Windows.
Ooh, how much is it running for the pre-purchase?
Let's see, I'll click. $19.99.
Well, that's only $20.
United States.
So that's pretty good. That's what I think Baldur's Gate on and Neverwinter Nights are on Steam and online.
I don't know if it's on Steam, probably.
But it is not out yet. Yeah. It's in our upcoming segment. So
it is out yet. I mean, it is out. Baldur's Gate is out. It's an old game, but it's...
Enhanced Edition's yeah, not
the
out.
The enhanced Edition.
And that comes out September 18th, so next month.
Mm-hmm. For $19.99 for your small devices, except for iPhones. Haha. And your Windows. I don't know. Is it for Mac?
Yes, I just mentioned that.
If it's on iPad, it'll probably be on iPhone.
I'm not listening.
They use the same... applications most of the time. And let's look what actual day. Is that on a Wednesday? That'd be awesome. Nope, it's on a Tuesday.
That's too bad. We'll probably record when we get it.
I'm not recording when I get it. I'm going to be playing.
Duh.
Okay, and
playing.
Okay. Moving on. So our portable game this week is done by Zeke. And
nope. Portable by Elijah.
We're switching it up this week.
Yeah. Okay, I have it written down wrong. Okay, and Elijah's going to do the portable game, and it's called The Third Birthday.
This is a game on the PSP, because I mostly play PSP. It is the original PSP and not the Vita. It has been a long time since I've played this.
2 years?
No, I don't think it's been out that long. I don't remember when it was released, but I got it before we moved. Maybe it was 2 years.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
No, it was one. But I got it a year ago, and I played it through. And it followed a series of games called Parasite Eve. And
PS1 and PS...
It's on PlayStation 1. Yeah. And if you have...
Parasite Eve is pretty cool.
Yeah, and it's... Correct me if I'm wrong. It's about a girl who keeps on getting stalked to get killed because she can fight this virus that this one lady gave herself somehow, right?
It's been a long time.
All I know is that you kill rats and stuff.
Yeah, but that one's more like an RPG. You have, it's like a action RPG. You stop
like
time.
Fallout.
Sort of like Fallout if you're just using... It's
Fallout,
actually
Fallout 3.
Like
Fallout.
Like the original
yeah,
Fallout.
It is like the original Fallout. It's like Fallout 3 if you're using the VAT system all the time. But it's really cool, and I played a little bit of the first one, but I actually beat the third birthday. It's pretty short. I beat it like 3 times, and you play it through so many times, and you get unlockables, and it's... a pretty cool game. This one, though, is not like the other two where you run around and then you stop time to shoot. It's more like an actual shooter.
It's a third-person shooter.
Okay, so it was like Fallout to Fallout 3.
Basically.
Fallout 1 and 2 to Fallout 3.
Parasite Eve is better, but it was a pretty good game. I enjoyed it, and I played it a lot.
Yeah, that was when I was playing into like the FIFA games, and I played those 24/7. You were playing You're playing third birthday, like, nonstop.
And are you a toddler in third birthday?
No. Why?
I don't know, because if you was your third birthday, you'd be a toddler.
Oh. So, I actually get why it's called third birthday,
it's
but
the
I don't...
third game, isn't it?
That, and, yeah, it's a third birthday, but it's the third year that something happened to someone.
Wink.
So I'm not going to ruin that.
Ooh, we're better at not spoiling things.
Spoilers.
I mean, I can say that, Kai.
No,
I mean,
no, don't spoil it, because I'm never going to play it.
No, I mean, I'm good at not spoiling things.
I like to spoil things. I'm going to... have not spoiled Lost for you yet.
No, you have not.
Mason did.
He spoiled it for you? No, don't tell Elijah.
He was ruining... No, he didn't spoil it for me. He was... just telling, like, oh, what is that? What is that? He was asking questions about stuff we haven't found out yet.
Yeah, and then Elijah comes up to me, and he's all like, so they weren't... spoiler alert. Okay, they just got to the part where the French lady, because this has been out forever. It's on Netflix if you want to watch it. Great series, in my opinion. But he comes up to me, and they just got to the part where they get the transmission in French from this lady. And he's all like, well, what about this French? And is it this? Blah, blah, blah.
No,
what about this French lady? And I was like, fine. They actually meet the French lady.
I asked.
Oh, really? You didn't tell me that.
Oh, crap. I thought Elijah told you.
Dang
no,
it.
I didn't tell Zeke. I don't spoil things. Oh. Or I try not to.
She's actually a pretty big character, but I'm not going to tell you anything.
Dang it, really?
Well, I'm going to ruin it some more, but I'm not going to tell you. I asked, is this resolved, or are they just going to find it and then kind of throw it to the side like some series
it's
did?
Like, oh, they make
everything
out with
in
shit.
Lost is resolved.
Okay.
Everything that you're wondering about, you find out about. That's
okay.
The great thing about Lost.
On to Cardinal Quest.
Okay, Zeke. We'll stop arguing and let you talk about your mobile game.
Yeah, for my mobile game, this is for the Android market and the iTunes market. Should I call it that? iPhone market.
iTunes Store?
iTunes Store. I don't own a...
Apple App Store?
The App Store for Apple. So it's on basically everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's on both.
Yeah.
If it's good and it's on Android, it's probably on iTunes.
Yeah. It's $3, but this is the thing. It's $3 on the Android, $4 on the App Store.
You know why it's probably $4 in the App Store?
It's better.
It's HD.
Oh. Well, anyways.
High definition. Retinal display.
Cardinal Quest. Cardinal Quest is a early...
Wait. Are you a red bird questing for something?
No, but you
very,
can't...
Very, very close, Kai.
Close. You're a red mage. Well, you can't be a red mage. Searching.
No, you aren't red. I think you're blue.
Are you? Oh, well, I don't know.
Well, why are you guys so racist? Why can't you be a black mage?
You are a black mage. Your face is black.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but your robes, your high
class. Why are you so robust?
On to the game.
Because I don't like red robes. How about that, Kai? And I don't like your sweater.
I'm kidding. I love your sweater. I'm wearing a sweater vest right now, and it's red.
But Cardinal Quest is a PC game. I don't know how old it is, but
my tie is also red.
Yeah. But
guy color coordinated today.
That's not good. Don't match your tie with your sweater.
Why not? My shirt's white. My pants are gray. I'm wearing a Ohio State Buckeyes sweater vest. Woo! With the little Ohio State, and it's all red. And then my tie is plaid, white and red.
And gray.
My socks are black, mainly red, and gray argyle. So I am very color coordinated.
You look like an announcer with those headphones and microphone in front of your face.
Well, you look like a dweeb.
Shut up. Okay. Cardinal Quest was a PC game where it was like, it looked, I don't know, it was pixelated.
I'm glad you did your research.
Yeah, I'm glad I did run my research too. But it's a basically, I guess it's kind of Diablo-esque.
Sort of.
It's a dungeon roamer where you're trying to get past all these dungeons. But it's basically you have one character. If it dies twice, you have to create a new one and start all over. You can be a fighter, a thief, or a mage, and you find power-ups, find the stairwells down. And
what is this for?
Android.
It's on the iPhone, and it's for mobile.
Oh, yeah. I was thinking you were doing portable, and I was like, this sounds horrible.
No.
Why would I pay money for this?
I totally forgot
that we even talked about the Android marketplace. So.
And Kai is getting tired.
I think we all are.
No, we're not getting tired.
Okay, so basically, if you haven't figured it out, it is nothing like what Kai said. You are not a red bird that flies around on a quest.
That'd be a lot cooler.
But you are a mage that
You can be.
Does stuff.
You can also be a well-rounded fighter or a really hard-to-play thief.
Why is it a well-rounded fighter?
Because all fighters are well-rounded. It's basically something that can cast magic and...
Then why do they have the mage?
Hack and slash. Because it finds better spells.
No, basically what it is fighter is easy. Mage is medium, and thief is hard. Mm-hmm. What do you have to do in the game? Why are you trying to explore these floors?
You're trying to kill a Minotaur.
Minotaur.
Hmm?
Mm.
You're trying to get to the bottom level.
It's a phone game, so yeah. I guess I'm overthinking this.
Yeah.
Okay, on to our main...
console plus computer.
And actually, we are not talking about console, as I mentioned before. And we are talking about... computer game, and this is one of my favorite series, and one of the games that I first started playing that I couldn't put down. Like, I just sat in front of the computer and played it for like days upon days upon days. And
hermited yourself like Zeke?
Shut up.
I was actually when I started playing this, I think I was in elementary middle school, so I probably was around Zeke's age. It was the first time that I really had...
in elementary school.
Well, it was like you're in 7th or 8th grade.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're around
maybe 6th grade.
Oh, no, I'm not.
Yeah, I was in Mississippi when we first moved to Mississippi.
Okay. Yeah.
And it was the first time that I actually cracked a game.
Oh, dang.
Oh, yeah. And I got it illegally, which I don't recommend doing for this game because it'll be really hard. This game is Diablo 3, and I was talking previously about Diablo 2, about me sitting down and playing 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 and playing.
I do remember. I don't remember many things from when I was real little, but I do remember walking in on Kai playing Diablo 2.
You do?
Yeah.
Wow, you have horrible memories.
I do.
Well, he also remembers Josh... trying to beat some game and screaming at the last boss.
That was Metal Gear Solid 3 Snake Eater. And it was in the Petalie Gardens, and the chick kept on running around in white.
God, you guys are making me feel really, really old. Because
you are. You're like 30.
And I also remember sneaking in because you had your door open down into your room and watching you make out with a chick.
It was probably Aaron.
Yeah, while doing homework.
No. Well, I don't know what was going on.
Yeah, I do remember that.
I do remember sneaking up.
You both spied on me when I was making out with a girl.
Yes.
You guys have horrible memories about me.
And I remember Chad and you chasing me around with an axe.
We chased you with... that sounds probable.
And then you put it up to my... Well, Chad put it up to my neck.
Okay, off topic like we are. I remember back when you were like, it was, you were really young.
We were young.
When did we first get to Ohio?
Eight years ago.
I was like six. It was 8 years ago, so, oh, wow, I wasn't that young. Oh, I was seven.
You were seven.
I was going to say, I think it was like your eighth birthday, and Chad comes, and what we did before is we go to the dollar store.
Oh, yeah, I remember this.
He's all like, I'm going to get your brother a present since we're going to his birthday, and I'm going to eat all the freaking cake. Except he didn't say freaking. And we drive to the dollar store, the Dollar Tree, and he gets a bag, and he had like $8. And he went around and just bought random crap, like a spatula.
Syrup tea bags.
And tea bags and a bag.
Which doesn't sound so bad now.
And he put it all in a bag. And Elijah was so excited that he got something from Chad. And he opens it up. And then his face, just the look of disappointment. Like, Chad actually fell on the ground laughing because he was all like, happy birthday!
Which is really funny thinking back on it. It was traumatizing.
You were so disappointed. And you were all like, what is this? And he's just laughing his ass off. And it was funny. But anyway, back to the game.
Hilarious now. Terrifying and traumatic then.
Back to the game. Diablo 3 is actually... it has some new features on it. Like cooldown counters. Because Blizzard... I think borrowed some ideas that they used in World of Warcraft and actually applied it to Diablo, and actually kind of made me mad, but it takes some getting used to if you're used to the old system, but new player systems are just going to love the game.
Well, I've only played the first floor of the first Diablo, because then my computer crashes. What?
You're going to need to lean into the mic. Okay. You can't be that far. You're not going to have to repeat yourself. You're just going to be really quiet if you're not close to the mic.
But, yeah, I've only played the first one. And okay. Not very much because my screen resolution, it would make it all trippy.
Oh, yeah. Zeke, when he showed me how to play it, or when he downloaded it on his computer, and, like, everything on it was, like, rainbows. Like, we walked up to cows, and Zeke's like, whoa, these cows are tripping balls.
They're, like, it was, like... darker, like red and orange on the middle of it, so it looked like thermal on the cow. Sorry.
And you don't have to apologize. Just get closer to the damn mic. Okay, well, Diablo 3 is, it's really good graphics, and it's continuing the storyline, because Diablo 1 doesn't really have a storyline. It kind of does, but not really. It has a storyline for, like, old games, but now it doesn't. And, Diablo 3 is continuing the storyline of Diablo 2, and you're searching and fighting demons, same type of thing. Diablo was beaten, but now he's coming back to power. Diablo and Bale were beaten, and now they're coming back to power. And you're, I haven't got very far in the game, but some of the things, the way that they've redesigned it, they've made it extremely hard. And I'm going to say... a couple things that I do not like about the game. Not that it's a bad game, it's still a really good game, but three things that I absolutely hate about the game. The cooldown counter for your potions. You can carry a lot of potions, but it still takes like a full minute for you, or it's like 60 or 30 seconds for you to be able to use another potion, so you can't just keep on tapping and waste all your money on potions to stay alive. Which is kind of cool, but I hate. And, another thing is it's online only. You have to be connected to the internet. You cannot play this game standalone. One of the cool things about Diablo 2 is it was one of the first games that really utilized online play where you could play cooperatively on servers and stuff, and it did it really well. It's not one of the first games that did it, but it was one of the first games that did it really, really well. And everybody played Diablo 2 online. It was really big to play Diablo 2 online. This now, the cool thing about Diablo 2 is you can play online and offline. This, you have to be connected. So if your internet goes out, you can't play.
Which happened when you first bought it.
Actually, I stopped playing it because of our internet would go out.
Super awesome.
Or whenever somebody, it actually requires quite a bit of bandwidth too. So if you have a slower internet connection, you're just going to be, like, fighting stuff, and your health is going to be, like, a quarter of the way down, and then you're going to die instantly because you have to be on a server. It's kind of weird. It's I really don't like that they did this, because I'd rather, because most of the time I'm playing single player, and I don't want to play single player and just have to be on the internet, have to be on a server, because if it was just on my computer, it would run a lot better. I could use only my RAM and not have to be over the bandwidth and be on server's RAM, and then have it have the enemies coming at me and then me just instantly die. But some of the cool, excuse me, some of the cool things about it.
Kyle, you sounded really sad just then. But some of the cool things about it.
I had something stuck in my throat. Some of the cool things about it is you do use your Battle.net, which if you have WoW or StarCraft 2 or anything, you use your Battle.net account and all your friends on your friends list automatically play. So when I first got it, I got it when it recently came out, like a couple days after it came out, and then everybody was on it. And they were all like, oh, hey, like Chad got on. He was all like, hey, let's play. And then he was like level 21, and I was level 7. And I was like, well, this is really gay.
He called Chad gay.
No, I didn't say Chad was gay.
Oh.
Maybe he's gay. I don't know. I don't care. But anyway, yeah, it's actually a pretty good game. The storyline's great. The graphics are so much better. It's very, very cool. But I just hate when you get into a big mob and your internet's slow and then you die.
But our internet is improved now, right?
Yeah, but it's not that much. We also were using it on when we had the 50 megabits or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
And it was still pretty slow. It would still do this with a very, very, very fast internet connection.
Just one of the things you have to get over. And is it still buggy?
I don't know if it's still buggy because I haven't got back on. I probably have tons and tons and tons of patches to upgrade and stuff like that. But Diablo 3 is a pretty good game. Do you guys have anything on it?
I have only played the first one, and I am actually really excited from what little I've watched you play. I am excited to play it.
I'm excited for you to give me one of those friend things.
Oh, and one of the cool things about it, too, is... I forgot. The power trees and everything. You don't have to put in your own slots for stuff. Like, it'll automatically upgrade your dexterity and, like...
Oh, that's awesome. I hate when you have to do that.
And, I mean, it's kind of gay because you can't customize your character as much, but it's like Pathfinder to 4th edition. You know, 4th edition, it's all designed for you, and it makes it a lot easier to use, but Pathfinder is more customizable. So you can't customize it as much, but you can. I mean, you still have to customize your skill tree appropriately, but... You don't have to customize your skill tree and your stuff, but it's kind of lame when you're only 1 point away from, like, using a new thing and you just leveled up and you're like, man, I'm going to have to wait a whole another level to get this new weapon or this new piece of armor.
Yeah, it's kind of lame.
Eh. You just have to get used to it with the game, I guess.
Yeah, but you also get your armor specific for your class. There's more items that are specific for your class,
cool. But
they're harder to find because you still have to wade through like barbarian helmets and blah blah blah. And the new classes are pretty cool. I was a demon hunter, and using the cool two-hand crossbows were pretty cool.
I don't know how realistic that would be. That would be really hard to reload too.
Yeah, I mean, it's not realistic.
Well, also,
but it's cool.
In the original Diablo, you were firing a million arrows a second.
That is true.
Like, how do you get all those?
Oh, yeah, with the rapid shot feet?
Yeah.
That wasn't the original Diablo, though, was
no,
it?
No, just the original Diablo, when you were a hunter or ranger or whatever, you had, like, unlimited arrows, and you shot
well,
really
this,
fast.
This, I think you have unlimited arrows, too. But mine actually has something rapid shot, where it shoots, like, 50 arrows at once.
Awesome.
Reload faster!
Yeah, I don't know how it's realistic,
well, you're
but it's
a
cool.
Demon hunter, so...
Well, it doesn't really matter.
Okay. It's still a fun game. Okay, and anything else on Diablo? Where I think I just talked about it.
Yeah,
well,
I'm all good.
We haven't played it yet, so...
But now that you have computers, we will play together, and that's one of the cool things about it, is we all can play.
Okay, yeah, let's go. Okay.
We can be friendly.
Magic... is the next thing that we're going to cover. And the card combo of the week is not really a card combo at all. It is a deck design that Elijah used from Innistrad, so it plays out of the graveyard, and he's going to tell you about it.
I believe it is mostly, if not all, Innistrad. I think it does have a bit of D or M12, sorry.
D12.
Sorry, I've been playing way too much role-playing games. But it is a... I noticed something cool about the... in green, because I mostly played green when I built this deck. I noticed that in Innistrad, they had 4, 5, or 6 cards. Thanks, Kai. Stop. Kai's making rude hand gestures. And... I noticed that in the green, there were like 5 cards that played specifically out of the graveyard. So I went on and I built this deck, and it was pretty bad. It was decent, but it was pretty bad.
It could beat a red deck easily.
Not really.
Bad red deck.
If I played it right, it would do decent. But with this one, I found this card called Myrmad Phantasm, and it's 2 blue and 3 colorless. It has flying. It is a 5/1. And then if you use its ability, which you pay 1 in a blue, then you shuffle Myrmad Phantasm back in your deck, and you self-mill yourself until a Myrmad Phantasm comes back up. So what that does in this deck is you, by turn 5, you can get rid of half your deck with like 13 creatures. And then if you have...
You might want to explain what self-mill means.
Oh, you get rid of, like, you discard a bunch of cards out of your library, and you put them in the graveyard. And then Wreath of Guise, Splinter Fright, and Boneyard Worm are all green cards where you add... Where, like, Splinter Fright's health or attack and defense are equal to the number of creatures in your graveyard. And with him, he has trample, and at the beginning of your...
Power and toughness,
sorry. I forgot what it was called.
Great job.
Thanks. Sorry, big fans of Magic. But and you discard 2 cards at the beginning of your upkeep phase to power him more. And Boneyard Worm is basically the same thing, except he costs 1 less colorless, so he's only a green and a colorless. And his power and toughness is equal to the number of cards in your graveyard. And then Wreath of Guise is a green card that I would normally attach to Myrmad Phantasm because he has flying, where it gives a creature X plus XX for however many creatures are in your graveyard. So you can have a really strong flying creature.
Yeah, you didn't really ever explain what Myrmad Phantasm does.
Yeah, I did. I said that he goes in your... Because I said...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And he's a flying creature. And, I mean, it's a pretty good deck idea, and it's a combo, but, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people noticed it because it's in the intro pack.
True.
You just didn't notice it with the intro pack. But I believe these cards were actually made to play with each other. But, I mean, it's a really good deck idea. And if you didn't notice it, it works really well. And I don't think the Myrmad is actually in the...
No, and the intro pack didn't come out until Dark Ascension, the one that played out of the graveyard, and it had Ghoul Tree.
It was just Ghoul Tree and Boneyard Worms, wasn't it?
I believe so. I don't know. You got the deck, and then you tore it apart immediately.
Yep, I need the cards.
Yeah, that's what I do with intro packs, too. I'm like, this is lame. I want these cards. Normally, I just be like, ooh, a shiny card that I want on front.
Better pay $10.
So are 11, we 12. Going on to the old school card of the week?
And yes, the old school card of the week is on Zeke.
Goblin Ski Patrol from... I was going to look up this set.
Pretty sure it's Ice Age.
Yeah.
It involves snow, so I think it's icy.
Yeah, I forgot the name of it.
Is it Ice Age, or is it, what is that set?
Yeah, I forget what it's called.
It's the one with the little snowflake.
Yeah. But anyways, Goblin Ski Patrol is 1, it's a red card, 1 in a mountain, and it's a 1/1, but you can, its ability is 1 in a red as well, and he gains flying and +2/+0, and at the end of the turn, bury Goblin Ski Patrol. Use this ability only once, and only if you control any snow-covered mountains.
Yeah, so that actually used Snow Cover Mountains, which were only in that set, and they're actually banned in play unless you're using them specifically as mountains. So I think that card is actually banned in most.
In modern. Yeah, it would be banned in modern.
Well, of course, it's a old border deck card.
It's not
a new border card, but it would be banned in most tournament play.
Yeah.
But
we play mostly casual, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, it was from Ice Age.
I just picked it out because of the name and the art. It has a purple goblin that kind of looks more like an orc skiing down in his helm and armor, and then behind him, one of his friends is just crashed and is like falling into the snow.
Oh, and they have a they actually reprinted it, quote unquote, in Modo, Magic Gathering Online Masters Edition. And it is I think it's in a commander deck that they released.
Oh, is it the same art?
Yeah, same art, same card. But, I mean, it's not a card, technically.
Yeah, it's a virtual.
It's a virtual card.
Prize.
So. Yeah. So, anyway, and hopes.
Hopes for Return to Ravnica. Yep. Zeke spelled Ravenous instead of Ravnica.
He put Ravenous Murder Death Babies.
Hopes for Return to Ravenous Murder Death Babies.
Okay, so our topic is Return to Ravnica, which I haven't listened to any of the previews or looked this up.
Listened? Oh, okay.
On
no,
podcasts.
I know.
You know what we're doing right now.
Yeah, maybe.
I haven't looked.
Zeke has no clue what we're doing right now. He's just talking.
Well, I know that you guys put stuff in front of my face and made me talk to you, so.
Okay, so
thought it was
Return to Ravnica is the next set, which the core set looked really good, but I always get really excited about the core sets. Ravnica was a cool, all the sets that were in Ravnica were really cool cards, and I do like the idea of Ravnica, I do like the stories behind it, the novels and stuff, and Ravnica is kind of like a big city, and it's where the Consortium
is, and
Jace and stuff like that. And
Jace is so cool.
Yeah.
And Nick Bolas tried to take over the Consortium and the storyline, and Jace beat his ass, and then he took it over and was like, oh, look at me, I sculpt the mines, and then I get banned from stuff.
And then I get songs written about me.
Yeah.
Wait, he has a song written
And then him? Girls on YouTube play Jace the Mind Sculptor song in the background while they play in their underwear.
You've watched that video, haven't you?
Seven times.
I've watched it. No, I watched it. It was actually really lame. It was just, you didn't get to see what cards they were playing or anything.
That's
I mean,
what people watch.
There's other websites where I could see a lot more than just girls in their underwear. And they weren't even playing sexy. They were just playing Magic. So if they were in their underwear playing Magic, I would actually like to see what they were playing and stuff.
So
I would actually like to watch the game.
Wait, you actually own it, Jace the Mind?
No, I want that song, though. I can't find it.
Jace the Mind Sculptor. It's by Spruik. Lauren Spruik. They did a album, and Spruik is the guy that did the Magic the Gathering songs. There's a couple other ones. I forget which band does the Trugdor, but that's pretty funny. It's like a metal-y hardcore song.
Didn't it get popular?
Yeah, it kind of got popular, and he was all like talking about a magic card where Trugdor comes in and destroys the cities and stuff. But anyway, back to Return to Ravnica. I do like how the Ravnica, I believe, had fairies and those weird tentacle head people. Ratman,
that was Kamigawa.
Was in Kamigawa, not Ravnica. And Return to Ravnica actually seems like a cool set because of I'm excited to see how the story plays out, but I'm going to try not to spend a lot of money on magic cards. I really want to spend more money on a 2013 core set, but I already have the Delk Biddles toolkit and fat packs. So.
Yeah, I've only bought intro packs in M13.
So once, whatchamacallit, once Return to Ravnica comes out, I'm probably only going to buy a fat pack, and then whatever a fat pack costs, what, $40?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably going to spend $40 on cards, which is like 10 or 11 boosters.
I think it's 9.
What we should do is
draft.
Go in together and just buy a box, because you can get them for cheap when you buy the box. I think they're like $90, $90, $100.
Uh-oh.
Or normally if you buy a whole box or it's a boosters, it's like 140.
Oh, okay. Sounds good.
We should all pull in and buy at the pre-release. But I'm not even sure when it releases. You want to look that up real fast?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you excited?
I like blue. So, of course, Jace and a lot of cool things are probably going to be coming out in blue. I haven't really researched it too much either, so.
And I'm glad we picked it as a topic.
Yeah.
September 29th to the 30th. So okay. It's coming out fairly soon.
It's the pre-release.
Yes.
Okay, so the 30th is when it comes out. 29th is probably when they're doing all the pre-release special edition stuff. So there probably are previews. We're probably not going to go into it. You could go and look at the Mana Pool or Monday Night Magic, or I'm sure the website already has some teasers, if not the full set list out.
Exciting?
Exciting. Okay.
The only thing I know about Ravnica, because I'm not old enough to actually have played it, but I read a book on it, so that's all I know about it.
Yeah, it's probably going to be really blue heavy and white heavy.
Okay, I'm okay with white. Just
because hurts my white brain. It does a lot with the cities and structure and humans, and it's pretty human, big human
based.
Stuff based. And then there's probably going to be a lot of wizards cards and stuff like that. And that's probably mostly blue, and there's going to be a lot of stuff because the Consortium is there, and that's the big magic capital. But I'm sure they're going to probably bring back, I think they're bringing back goblins because of what the core set hinted at.
Awesome.
They're probably bringing back a whole bunch of goblins.
I love goblins.
And stuff like that.
I hate goblins. Zeke's ruined goblins for me.
I'm sure they're going to have some really, 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 really cool artifacts in it, though.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because of the Consortium and everything. And I hope they actually play out the storyline, because Nicobolas came out in the core set. I really hope they play out another storyline where Nicobolas is all pissed because he lost the Consortium, and he's going to come back and kind of come back into the magic lore and storyline.
Are you
he's
hoping,
one of the big bad guys.
How are you hoping that the story will be told? Like through the cards like they used to do? Or
I think they're going to do it through the cards a little more than what they've been doing because people have been complaining about it. But I do think they're going to release some cool, probably they're probably going to do another graphic novel or continue the Magic series on IDW.
Ooh.
And
oh, yeah.
Tell the story through that. Yeah. So I might start picking up Magic stuff because the one for Innistrad was kind of lame.
Speaking of which, we didn't talk about the Pathfinder comic.
Oh, we did not. We'll talk about that in whatchamacallit in the RPG stuff.
Okay, that'll fit in perfectly.
Yeah.
Okay, and as we move on, anything else on Magic?
No, apparently I suck. So
yeah.
Says the show notes.
Well, it says MTGO, so I put MTGO home Elijah.
You suck. I think you should have left the other one about
I put for his blue green graveyard thing. I put bone me hard worm instead of boneyard worm.
And you put something else that was funny.
I put goblin ski petroleum jelly.
Yeah, goblin ski petroleum jelly.
I do want to see goblin ski on petroleum jelly.
And then no,
we
I want to
see
real
them
future.
Ski
and,
while and then we can see their
petroleum jelly.
And then we can see their fetuses.
You know, petroleum jelly people use for, you know, the
yes.
For lubing up Rubik's cubes. Yeah. So that they spin better.
Wait, okay. Did you actually do that?
On to no, I did when, not. When you were into Pathfinder comic book, which, because we're going to the RPG section.
Yes.
The cool thing about this is not only is it a comic book, and it's actually, I think it read better than the D&D ones. The D&D ones are still pretty good, but I think it actually, it's on Boom, which is a smaller, it's not as big as IDW and stuff, and it's a smaller independent comic company. It's not like Image or anything, but I think Pathfinder actually chose the story, the people, Piazza and stuff. They actually did a really good job of picking stories and approving them of Pathfinder, and they actually had a hand in working on this because I get their newsletter and stuff. And it was actually a really good storyline, and it brought the Pathfinder world kind of alive to you a little more, and it actually brought out a lot of the feeling that you get from reading the core rulebook, and it's the same style of art that you get in the core rulebook.
Oh, that's real sweet.
I mean, it's a little more cartoony and boiled down, but it's still the same style of art. The goblins have the big Hey Arnold heads and stuff
that's
like that.
Whenever I picture a goblin, that's what I think of.
And then I know they get the look and stuff. Mm-hmm. But the cool thing about it is why I think we should have done it in the RPG section, and I wanted to do it in the RPG section. I'm just glad you reminded me. Mm-hmm. Is the cool thing about these is they have an ongoing... each comic comes with a small little campaign idea. Like, it says the city that the adventures are in, or gives a surrounding town, and it gives you a playmat, a poster, which is just the reverse side of the playmat, and, like, character descriptions and NPCs.
Will every single one...
I believe they're doing this with every single one.
Awesome. So we can have tons and tons of playmats.
Yeah, because I think... Pathfinder Chronicles used to release in like Dragon Magazine, or they used to release it out as a supplement for 3.5 with the Open Gaming License. How Pathfinder actually started, it was called Pathfinder Chronicles, and they were basically just building the Pathfinder universe using 3.5 rules. But Pathfinder Chronicles actually released a monthly or weekly, I forget what it was, I think it was monthly, because it came out in a magazine, I believe, or they just released them on their own. And they actually were the ones that made little adventure paths. Like the new adventure paths, Pathfinder Chronicles were doing that with small little supplements and stuff with the Pathfinder world and D&D. And it was before they actually had their own game.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. So Pathfinder is doing that again, I think, through the comic. So it runs just like an adventure path, looks just like the adventure path. It uses the core rule book. I don't even think you need a bestiary to play it. You just need the core rule book. And it gives you these little things. But the cool thing about me being, like we talked last week, me being the DM type, I got a real big boner for having maps. The maps look cool. They're great. They're small. And I just think you could, those pre-printed maps that D&D releases and Pathfinder, they're just cool to have, and you could use them in many different settings.
I'm excited. I kind of want to read them. I haven't picked it up yet. You have it, and I want to read it. But
it's pretty good. I would recommend picking it up.
I'm kind of on a, like, I have nerd hobbies, which one I kind of favor. Like, a while back, we favored magic and stuff like that. But I've kind of been on a 4.0 run, and I kind of want to try out the adventure path.
For Pathfinder?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we have been playing a lot of 4.0, and I don't know. I do like Pathfinder because of the versatility and stuff, and it's just a lot harder to DM, and it's a lot harder to play, but, I mean, it's just as a rewarding experience, but it's more like, I like 4.0 because it's real easy.
We'll be getting into a one certain part of that later on in our rules segment of RPG.
Actually, we could do that next because it's a little quick one, and we could do that before we get into the other one. And because we're probably going to talk about D&D and Pathfinder because it's the ones we know best, and get on to the topic. Here I got, is this printout in the back of the DM guide?
Actually, no, I do not think so. I think those were just
PDFs.
They released them as PDFs, though?
They should, but I think you can just look it up. Yeah.
What we're talking about is the encounter cards. I know they sell them for each different class, but it gives you your at-will power, your encounter power, and daily power, and it's a little sheet. And I got it from the character sheets that give you the landscape and portrait style character sheet, and they give you cards.
You have to buy them.
Oh, you have to buy them.
Yeah, you can get it in the character sheet thing.
Or
Amazon, you can buy them separately.
Just the little cards?
Yeah.
Okay, well, what I did is it's a sheet of cards, and I didn't break them apart when they're perforated. I just made copies of them, and they're real cool to put in your at-will powers and your encounter powers so you could have the description right in front of you. And they make ones that are pre-printed with every power that every class could have, but you have to buy them by class, and they're a little more steep. I recommend getting the D&D 4E if you're playing a lot of 4th edition and getting the character sheet thing and just using it to make copies of stuff. And you get a cool folder. Yeah. It's cool to have a player.
You can keep all your DM stuff in there.
Well, I use it for when I'm an actual player. I use it for keeping everybody's character sheet in and everybody that plays in the party and keeping all my player tools, like using the at-will cards and the power cards. And it's just cool to have the folder. And it also has, like, your experience and a little bit of player information that you need other than dice. But it's just cool to use all the stuff that comes in it to make copies of. I don't know if that's legal. I think it is. I paid for it. I'm going to make copies of it. Okay, so our rules section, we haven't done a rules section, is out of 4.0. And as we talked about, we have transitioned from being big Pathfinder addicts to transitioning into the 4.0 because it's easier to pick up. It's easier to play. If you know the basic rules, you can pick it up real fast, and it's extremely simple. And a lot of people dish on 4.0, and I know we kind of did before, or at least I did. Yeah. I really didn't like it because Pathfinder is a lot more customizable. 3.5 is a lot more customizable, and 4.0 is a little more boiled out and kind of tells you what to do. But I believe 4.0 takes your mind off of things and makes it so simple. It doesn't give you a lot of choices. It makes it so simple that you could just concentrate on creating your character and role-playing.
You can forget about the technical stuff. You just sit down and have a nice adventure with your friends.
Well, the technical stuff is just boiled down. You have to look at it as a totally different system than 3.5 and Pathfinder, and it is.
Look at it as a totally different game, even.
Well, I mean, it's
same basis.
It's not a game. It's in the same D&D universe, but a lot of the mechanics are similar, but you have to look at it as a total different system. So one of the things that we discussed before when I first found it, and I actually, people didn't like from hearing about it, because when it's explained, it sounds really stupid, or when you read about it, it sounds really bad, but when you put it into practice, the healing searches are amazing. It gives it a little different feel, more MMO feel, people say, but I don't believe it really does. I just think it's just a different feel to everything.
Yeah,
it just makes it simple for your healing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really difficult to heal. Even when if you don't have somebody in your party that's a designated healer, you're not going to be able to heal more than your second wind.
Of course, D&D deals with that, with putting the suggested, having a cleric or a paladin, leader in your...
It suggests stuff, but you don't have to do that. You could have a full wizard party with nobody with heal powers or anything like that.
But that's pretty dumb.
I mean, it could be dumb. But, I mean, it could be fun to roleplay. But at the same time, with the healing surges, something else that I really like is the powers. Because the way with the cards or the way that you could have them set up, they're real simple to use. You can make copies of the actual pages with your powers in it. But you got three different power types. And this is something that I didn't like at first either. But now I kind of, you know, fell in love with it since we've been playing. And I've actually put some more time playing 4th edition, I've put more time in the chair as a player than as a DM. Where Pathfinder, I have tons of hours being a DM.
Yes.
you guys have characters that are almost level 10.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which...
one campaign.
Yeah, we that was the only campaign we were playing, because neither of us have started, Elijah or I, have started DMing yet. So you were the only DM, so we played only that one campaign, and I didn't realize how high of a level we were.
Yeah, I mean, we put a lot of work into those characters, a lot of time, and actually, when I first started, I wasn't getting them nearly enough XP. I was actually cutting it down for 6 players instead of 2.
And we still got to level 7. And you
for the first 2 or 3 levels.
You were giving us weight. You kept screaming TPK at us because you thought we were going to die.
Oh, yeah. And in that campaign, I constantly, because they're dealing with like demons and the abyss and these cults, I constantly try to kill them. I try to kill them off, try to kill their characters.
Can't do it. He died once, but it was because he missed an agility check and fell in acid.
I jumped in a pool of melted metal. I don't know.
You almost died. I let you re-roll that.
It was our first campaign.
And you died.
Mm. Never
first
died.
5 minutes of the game, you died.
I did?
You got that magical trap that puts you into a burning building, and then you kept failing your rolls
to
climb out.
I do remember that.
It's the first 5 minutes of playing.
No, you did not die from the burning building. You died from falling off of the burning building.
Yeah, I would climb up to the top, and you would make me roll another check, and I would fall back down and kill myself.
You fell out of the building.
Captain Avio was a really heavy paladin.
Okay.
Okay, but anyway, go back to our rule. Question. At will powers, like before you had powers that if you're a magic user, you got powers. And then if you were a fighter or rogue, you didn't really get powers. You got feats in 3.5. Now everybody has powers. And at will powers are basically you swinging a sword or you just doing something that's specific to your character. If you're a trained fighter, you could like do stuff. I think, is it rogues that could get into the different fighting stances?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And stuff, and you could do all these different stances, and all it is your character's fighting a different way. And at willpowers also show what would probably be kind of like cantrips, but they made the cantrips more powerful, so yeah. Everybody's more equal, so you can't be a fighter, be real good at low levels, like in 3.5, and then mage being awesome at really high levels, and the fighter just sucking.
It balances everything out.
Yeah, it's just a little more balanced. So the at-will powers can be used at any time, anyway, mostly in encounters like battles. Encounter powers, they can be used once per encounter, and that's up to your DM to decide. Usually between each battle scene, between each time fighting, you need in-game 3 to 5 minutes to rest, and then you could use this power again. So it's a spell, and it's not run off the original D&D where you cast a spell and then you have to restudy it, because originally it was believed that if you were a wizard or using magic, you cast a spell and then your wizard or whatever would forget the spell, and that's why you only had he'd have to restudy it. It kind of just leaves them. I know a lot of middle, low fantasy to high fantasy that actually uses that concept where the wizards would have to, after they cast it, it was so taxing on them mentally, they actually forget the spell.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That would change the world of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
But this is just something like, you do like something really heroic if you're a fighter or something. And daily powers you use once per day. If you have to sleep and get your health back up and stuff like that. And usually it's in a 24-hour period, and it requires, you know, what does it say? I think it says at least 4 hours of sleep.
Or slash meditation.
Yeah, it's like a sleeping, because Eladrin don't sleep, they meditate.
And wear fake beards.
Just his. And another cool thing is with your power types and usage, the way that they utilize them, like in Pathfinder, it's just a bold heading and then the description And this kind of color codes it and makes it real easy to look at and see, and it organizes it very well. And it actually gives you flavor text of how to actually describe it, so it makes role-playing a little easier.
Like,
so.
It might have been first edition where they describe magic missile of doing, like, a W shape with your hands.
Yeah, I think that is in Advanced D&D. And, yeah, because nobody had run into it before. With 3.5, people had been playing, you know, for years. Like, 20 years they've been playing D&D, so it was just thought it was understood. And I don't like how a lot of... See, what 4th edition is if you've never had anybody teach you how to play and you just pick up the handbook, you can learn how to play the game.
It's the more other, open to new players.
Like Shadowrun, Pathfinder. Pathfinder not so much, but 3.5 and 2nd edition just assume that somebody taught you. They're not assuming that you're just picking up the product and trying to learn on your own, trying to learn a new system. So you actually have to be an experienced RP player or a DM or a GM to actually understand it. So, bravo for 4.0. Please give it a try. Even if you do it illegally, do buy the books. But if you want to try it out, look it up. Wizards do something legal. You can get their quick play manual online for free. It's a PDF, and it'll walk you through. And it's actually, do run a quick one, or go to a gaming shop and play Encounters. That's actually how I got exposed to it. And actually, once I saw how it ran very similar to Pathfinder and other editions of 3.5. It just tweaked it a little bit. But once you looked at it as a totally new system, and I went in thinking that I was going to hate it, but I just couldn't. And I thought it was a really good system.
One of these weekends or whatever, you need to take us out to some place that's running an Encounters match.
They have it on Wednesdays.
Wow, it's not on weekends.
That's kind of hard to do with school and all, Zeke.
Well, there'll be Christmas breaks.
There'll be breaks, and we could do it.
Oh, crap. Sorry, I almost pulled my headphones out.
Delete what?
The actual topic, because this went on really long.
Okay, maybe we will save the topic for next week, because we did get off on a... 4.0, 3.5, change.
What are you running?
We are actually at an hour and 12, and Elijah sent me a note, and I couldn't be discreet. I'm sorry about that. But we started talking about different power types and using it as a rules question. We did have a topic, but we ran over with the time, so we'll just keep on talking about 3.5 versus... 4.0, anything that you guys want to talk about? I feel like I've been talking the whole episode.
3.5 is a lot harder to play to me. Sorry, I use so many verbs.
You're stumbling over yourself. Just go.
Okay. I'm getting tired. I'm sorry. I've learned that 4.0 is so much easier to do and so much easier just to get the feel of the world for players. I am mostly a player. Even Zeke's been DMing more than I have. And 4.0 is a lot easier to DM. We've gone over these topics. Kai really thoroughly covered this topic. And over previous podcasts, we've really covered on this.
As a player and a beginning DM, I do have to say... 4.0 is a lot more inviting to newer DMs/players.
And, I mean, not to knock you because you're young, because you're a very intelligent kid, but you are still a kid, and your age is when people actually first get introduced. Also, people in my age, or when they start going to college, also get introduced to it. But... as somebody, a younger player, yourself, what was it easier to learn the Dungeons & Dragons 4.0 or Pathfinder?
Pathfinder, because I started out on it, it was like a completely new thing. I barely knew what role-playing was. And it was a lot harder. You had to explain everything to me, like every single thing. Now I can make a character under 30 minutes. 30 minutes, 45 minutes. But yeah, it was a lot harder starting out on 3.5. And I actually kind of wish we started out on 4.0. But I guess it's kind of good that we started out on something harder and then kind of downgraded.
So, you're saying that 4.0 is a lot easier to understand? And
It gives... What I'm trying to get at is that 4.0 is a lot easier to under... What?
Closer to the mic.
Oh. Well, 4.0 is a lot easier to understand. So, I think it makes it less technical. Like, Pathfinder...
You keep saying that it's less technical, but I don't think it's less technical. I do think it's a different system, and I do think that you're looking at it as less technical, but you haven't read all the Pathfinder books. You haven't read the core rule book all the way beginning to end, where you have with the player's handbook and the DM guide for 4.0. It is just as technical, but I think it's written differently. It's
a more sort of inviting.
It's more like user-friendly. It's more easier to... I mean, it is easier to understand 4.0 compared to
3.5. I think it... Well, I guess it kind of, like... It gives me more time to think of... Like, instead of worrying about if I did this thing right, because I haven't read the Pathfinder books and stuff, instead of worrying if I did something right, I can worry about, oh, what's going on in this campaign.
Yeah, and I think it's because the book is written a little simpler. It's easier to understand, where you could pick up a college textbook and learn Spanish, but you also could go pick up Spanish for Dummies, and Spanish for Dummies is going to explain it on a much easier level.
Speaking of For Dummies books, did you know that there is a 4.0 Dungeons & Dragons For Dummies?
Yeah, I've seen
it. Yes, and I kind of want to pick it up and see how stupid you have to be not to understand 4.0.
Sounds awesome.
Okay, so I think we need to close up.
Yeah, it's getting late here and past my bedtime, and I need to go watch some Firefly, and
I need to go to bed.
You guys need to go to sleep, because you guys don't stay up as late as me, even though I wake up at the same time now.
But we have to go to school all day.
So do I.
Yeah, but you go to, like, I go to different classes and you have breaks and stuff.
I have like an hour-long break.
Exactly. We have 5 minutes.
Add up
but
all
you
your 5 minutes.
But you don't go till 6 o'clock at night.
Oh. Okay.
College is much harder, Zig.
I go from 7 to 6. I have like an hour-long lunch break and then an hour-long break.
Well, let's close up.
Zig was being stupid. Well, from the realm of nerd to you guys, goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.